team.
Yeah. Woo!
If you guys need chairs, I don't think there is. They might have said but this is kind of cool, right? It's like first century style. It's kind of making room in a room, you know? We're not up here
with
a lot,
heating.
Come on.
Warm. We're toasty. It's good. But man, it's great to be back together. You guys excited to be back together?
Yep.
The holidays. Who had like a really good holiday break so far? Like, got to sleep.
Wow, really?
Who's like still needing their break because the holidays are so crazy? Okay. Well, you know, it's good to be back together. I enjoyed seeing my extended family, but I was honestly really excited to be back with my spiritual family, with you guys. You guys are the bomb. And we had a fun time at the Hughes' house celebrating New Year's.
Yeah!
It was awesome. And it was funny. I feel like it wasn't until like 5 minutes before the ball dropped that I was like, oh my gosh, it's New Year's Eve. The ball's about to drop. Like, it just hits you. Yeah. And then we started asking, like, favorite members of 2017, like counting it down, and some people have legit ones, some people are like, I'm alive, we're like, no, it's crazy, it's 2018, and it's a cool year because God is going to do new things, right? God's about all new beginnings, about new starts, and tonight, what we're going to be talking about is how to have awesome, godly relationships with one another, amen? Specifically, brother-sister relationships. And I'm excited to dig into scriptures tonight. And really, we just get to see how can we have friendships like Jesus had, right? That's exciting. That's awesome. So we're going to be jumping in. Turn over to 1 John 4. We'll pray before we jump in. So 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start there. But let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for just bringing us together, God, that we have this spiritual family, God, that we have brothers and sisters, God, that we have this family, God. Thank you for the background music downstairs, God. Let it not distract us. But we just pray for a great night tonight, God, and just, God, that your spirit would really move. Please just take me out of the way, that we can just really be receptive to what you want to tell us tonight, God. You know, we all battle with how to have great friendships, God, and we know that the world doesn't really help with that. So just help us tonight just to learn, to be open to your word, God, and to really be attentive to what your spirit wants to do. We're so grateful for your scriptures, God, that they can help us to have awesome, godly relationships, God. We don't deserve that, God. So we're just grateful, but praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start here tonight. Alrighty. So, let me start by saying I love our family here in New Jersey. Like, every time I come to Midweek, I just rejoice. I'm just like, I'm so grateful to be a part of this family. You guys grateful to have this family? Like, even just when we were singing worship, sometimes I just like to listen to everybody and just be like, these are my best friends. This is my family. So I think that we have such an awesome family here. I think that it's really a strength of ours, how unified we are, that we seek to love one another deeply from the heart. But let's be real. We are a spiritually young family, right? He's given us a lot of new Christians. A lot of us are babies in the faith, right? And we're just learning how to have these new relationships as disciples of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So it's a learning curve. We're all works in progress. Some of us have been Christians for years. We've experienced things. We've learned things through different friendships, through pain. And some of us, maybe you just became a disciple and you're trying to figure out, what does that even mean to have a godly relationship, right? What is that? And so tonight, I hope that we can kind of just really address all of that, right? How can we all, as a whole ministry, for every disciple, move forward as a ministry in doing this? Amen?
Come on.
So let's pick up here, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 11. John says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Amen? Yeah. So my first point is Jesus is the glue. All right? Jesus is the glue. And I think a good question to ask
not Elmer's.
Is, why should I strive to have these God relationships? Why should I even go after this? And I think sometimes we can get mixed up with the why, especially when it comes to our friendships. I think sometimes we can say things like, well, it's just the culture here. Well, it's just how I've seen it done. Or, well, my discipler says this. But God wants you, all of us, to have our own convictions, biblical convictions on our friendships, amen? And how we treat one another. And again, the question that we should really be fired up about is, how can I have relationships like Jesus had?
Yeah.
Jesus had world-changing friendships.
Right.
That's incredible. And that he's given us the opportunity to have the same powerful friendships. Why? Because of his love. And so the why here in verse 11, since God so loved us, we also should love one another, right? We don't love one another just because, all right, we can get along.
Yeah.
You seem like someone, we got the same hobbies. No, we love one another because God values everyone, right? God loves everyone and God loves you, right? So when we're connected with God's love for us, that helps us to be loving for other people, right? Mm. And especially the ones that maybe get on your nerves, right? So that's the beauty of this, is that our motivation is in the world. The world is about go find your friend group. We're about loving people no matter where they're from, because God so loved us. Amen.
Mm. Amen.
And that's a gift. You know, in the New Testament alone, we see this phrase, one another, right, talking about relationships, about 47 times in the New Testament, right? One another relationship. So God cares about this, right? God cares about our relationships. Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. I mean, it just saturates the scriptures. But again, the why is because God so loved you, right? So right off the bat, you're going to have a better time and you're going to be more excited about your friendships if there's an overflow of your gratitude for God. If you're connected with the gospel, what Jesus has done for you, you are naturally going to want to share that with somebody. Hey, can I tell you about what I'm learning about God? Hey, and if there is kind of like maybe a conflict you have, what helps you to love them is, well, God was patient with me. God loved me.
Right.
I've heard God, but he sent his son. So what am I going to hold against this brother, right? What am I going to hold against this sister? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the glue. Jesus is the glue. And that's amazing that sinners like us can have these amazing relationships.
Yeah,
so like, we don't deserve that, but God's gifted us with that. And again, if you're having trouble bonding with other disciples, it might just be because Jesus isn't the glue yet.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be that your friendships might not be really centered on Christ. And I know that was me for a good bit of being a disciple, just to be honest. But that's a good question to ask yourself is, are the majority of my friendships Christ-centered?
Yeah.
Are the majority of my friendships centered on Christ? It needs to be Jesus. Relationships built on Christ will thrive. Relationships built on you will soon wither and die. Right? So Jesus promises amazing things. We can't really make a lot of promises. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to mess up. But when we make Jesus the focus, you'll get through anything, right? With anybody. And I'll just be honest, I've had to learn this the hard way, right? With brothers and sisters. I've had times where I started really building a friendship with Jesus as the glue, right? And it starts there. But then gradually it becomes more about who we are as people, right? Worldly things, just kind of like what's easier to talk about. And then slowly the friendship just kind of goes away because it was never really about worshiping God. It was just like, I just want a friend,
right?
It wasn't about, let me love this person with the love of God. And so that hurts, you know, you spend time with somebody and you really are trying, but you see yourself slowly and then it hits you, oh man, we're not really making this about God, right? And that could be brother, sister. That could also be just with you and another brother or sister and a sister, right? Sometimes we just forget, wait, why are we doing this again?
Yeah.
we're partners in the gospel. Right? We're on a mission together. That's what holds us together. Right. It's not your hobby. Not what college you go to, even though that maybe be a big thing in here in Montclair versus Willie P. But God overrides that, and he says, no, it's about me. And that's awesome.
And MSU overrides.
Now, Willie P. overrides. My man. But, you know, on the flip side, so, you know, I've totally dropped the ball in that area, and we've all made mistakes in our friendships, but on the flip side, when you do let Jesus be the glue, it's so cool to see how your friendships really do thrive, and they're long-lasting, too. You know, that's awesome. You know, I recently got a message from a sister, and we don't see each other a lot at all, but she said, thank you, because you're like an older brother to me. I know we don't talk a lot, but I feel like I could call you and be encouraged, even no matter how much time has passed. And I don't deserve that, but it's like, man, that we can have friendships like that where it's like, wow, I'm an older brother. That's pretty cool, right? I don't know what I did to do that. I mean, God works it out, but it's like, sisters, you can be older sisters to maybe some younger brothers, right? Yeah. You can kind of have that kind of relationship, yeah. Right? Every relationship is going to be different. But man, we don't deserve that. Jesus is the glue, and thank God he is, right? Yeah. Thank God that we don't have to. It doesn't depend on us and our own effort. It's on God, right? So just kind of wrapping up this point, the why, it's to bring glory to God, right? And what we see here in verse 12, John says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete among us. Okay, so what I'm saying is, we obviously can't see God, right? No one can see God. And a lot of people who study the Bible have a hard time with that. But guess what? When we love one another with the love of God, people see Jesus. Yeah. People see God.
Yeah.
It illustrates God for them. Just like Jesus was representing God on earth, we represent the heart of God by how we love one another. We show people God. So why have godly relationships? Because you get to show people Jesus.
Right.
You show people Christ by the way you treat one another and your relationships. But also because strong spiritual friendships are a great source of support and protection from worldliness and the devil's schemes.
True.
Huge source of protection. That's the way God designed it. We're a body. This is a one another church, right? So we need each other, but God needs us to be a light for the world. And we need one another in order to be that light. Amen? Right. And so it's all about bringing glory to God, but I just want to start there. If you're kind of not having the why on straight, the why is God. The why is because God so loved us. So I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. Amen? Yeah. So point number two, who knows you? All right, point number one, Jesus is the glue. Point number two, who knows you? You know, we're rhyming tonight. Don't usually do that, but I was inspired. So at this point, we're going to talk about we're going to talk more practically about brother-sister relationships and how we can have awesome friendships together. Turn over to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. All right. So in a few minutes here, we're going to have Eden and Marie come up. And,
let's go.
You know, they're going to share about just kind of what they've learned and how they've learned to have great brother-sister friendships. You know, things that maybe they did wrong, but also things that have really helped them a lot. And I think it's good that we get past the broad stroke and we can really have some honest talk about what are things you just shouldn't do. What are boundaries that should be in place at the get-go, right? And then what are things that maybe we just really need to build our own convictions about more? And I really want to highlight that is don't leave here tonight and just say, well, Mark said that, so I'll do that. No, go read the scriptures. Yeah. Like, get it in your heart.
Yep.
And you need to be inspired to have these convictions yourself. So I think a big part of having awesome, like, thriving friendships is a big part of that is learning about how much God values the heart, how much God values our heart. And in Proverbs 4, we'll pick up here in verse 20. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. All right, gotcha. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Who's heard this scripture before? Raise your hand if you've heard that. You ever have someone say this to you, hey, you guard your heart, and you're like, what does that mean again? What? So, like, that's just, you know, we have these phrases we hear a lot, but we need to make sure that we know the scriptures behind them. Amen?
Yeah.
So I want to share with you a different translation of this verse. It's in the ESV, and it says this, which is really the Hebrew here. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart, right? The heart is, you know, your mind and thoughts, right? And so this is one quick thing to understand, that for these ancient people, they had no concept of the brain. Their brain was their heart. So everything so that they talk about was, it's like, you know, when you get gut feeling, you feel your gut drop? That for them, that was like, this is their brain. So from their heart, that's the emotions, that's the pain you feel, that's the joy you feel, the confusion you feel. So they're saying, that's who you are, right? A lot of who you are is your heart. And so this scripture, it's really saying, watch over your heart with diligence, right? And diligence is keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties, right? So it's like, it's almost kind of like there's something so precious in you that God's given you, like better than gold. And God's like, that's so precious, and it's the access to life. So I want you to guard it because there's life. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to guard it just for the sake of guarding it. I want you to keep your heart, examine it, be open with me about it, but because I want you to experience life. Right. That's God's, that's what he's saying here. Watch it, because your heart could take you in a lot of places, but your heart should first be committed and devoted to me. Right to God, because that's why I want to read the verses before here, because it says that his words, that's what should be kept in our heart. That's what's going to give us life and literally healing to our bones, is the words of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, so when someone says to you, hey, guard your heart, they're really looking out for your spiritual health. Right, right? They really want you to experience life. And again, your heart is so much of who you are, but we got to make sure that our hearts are first devoted to God and then seeking guidance from other brothers and sisters. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to be careful that we're not bringing our hearts to people right away, especially the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But that God is, he's the only one that can really heal our hearts.
Right.
Is God. You were made in the image of God. He restores our hearts. And that's the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your
hearts,
right? But to love the Lord your God with all your heart, you must also guard your heart,
right?
This is here because we need to love God with all of our heart, right? So this proverb isn't just like a nice thing. It's like, this is detrimental for you loving God with all your heart. And part of loving God with all your heart is loving people. That's what Jesus says. Second is like it, love your neighbor. So when we love people, we're loving God, right? So this scripture is really important to think about, and to think about, you know, kind of, what do you really guard your heart? Do you keep watch over your heart with all diligence? Do you really examine yourself in your prayer time? Do you get vulnerable with your discipling partner of, hey, I'm feeling these things? I'm even feeling things towards you, right? Sometimes we just got things that we just got to be open about, but we want to make sure that we're not just getting open for the sake of it, because we just want like a therapy session, but that we're trying to let God heal us. I talked to Rob because I know this guy can help me get healing from God in the scriptures, right? It's not just, well, I want to make sure Rob knows that I'm trying to guard my heart. It's like, no, I want to experience life, right?
Yeah.
The way God designed it. So I'm going to guard my heart. Amen?
Yeah.
So brothers, a sister cannot heal your heart. So sisters, a brother cannot heal your heart.
Are you serious?
We can't. Yeah, I'm serious. So, you know, like, we can't even understand our own hearts. So why do we expect someone else to, like, fix it?
Yeah.
other sense, like, I don't even know what I'm feeling half the time. That's kind of our battle as guys. So how am I going to expect a sister to be like my Yoda? And like, this is what's going on, actually. And at least maybe they go like, oh, she's so right, right? It's like, no, we need God, right? We need Jesus. And again, this point is titled, Who Knows You? Because the people that should know you best, brothers, it should be the brothers. And sisters, it should be the sisters, okay? God cares about our hearts, and we must too. But we gotta, brothers, you gotta be careful that you're not spilling your emotional guts to a sister consistently. That doesn't help them, and it really doesn't help you. You gotta be careful about what you're sharing. You know, if you're married, you're one, right? So you're gonna share those things. Mature dating couples do that. You're just friends. It's not your job to fix a sister's problem, right? And sisters, it's not your job to fix a brother's heart. You can't guard someone's heart for them. That's their job, okay? So especially I want to bring Eden and Maria, and they're going to talk about what they've learned and how to have really great brother-sister relationships. And they're awesome because they're going to be vulnerable too. But I think this will help us to really see more like real-life examples of what this looks like. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So give it up for Maria and then Eden.
Hi, my name is Maria. I have to be honest, when I was asked to talk about this, I was a little confused because I feel like I need to grow in this, but from the time I became a disciple to now, there's definitely been a big change. I have friendships now that are fun, adventurous, and spiritual with both brothers and sisters. I think on my end, it was definitely harder for me to develop friendships with brothers because I was so used to dealing with men in the world. I had very few friendships with men that didn't lead past the friendship phase. And I'm guilty of treating all of you beautiful brothers as if you didn't exist. I know what I did as an early disciple. And now I, for my brothers, like, brothers have feelings too, and with boundaries.
Talk about it.
I had to realize that brothers, they're human. And with boundaries, of course, I now try to treat my brothers, the friendships I have with them, like I would my sisters, meaning checking up on them, listening to them, giving advice, taking their advice. And including them in our outside hangouts, outside of meeting of bodies. I cling to sisters more for certain things, of course. But overall, I think the foundations of a great friendship is unisex. The main difference I have between my friendship with brothers and sisters are the general boundaries that I set up with men in general. For example, I stay away from unnecessary alone time with brothers. I'm really grateful for all of the rides that you guys have given me and like sharing faith on campus with each other. But other than that, I try to keep it to a minimum. Not everything is beneficial, so I also try not to, like, if I notice that I'm texting a brother like all day or too often, I put it to a halt because the way I see it, if we're not dating, we shouldn't be talking as if we are dating each other, like as much as a couple would be talking. And to gain some of the friendships that I have now, one huge thing for me was stepping out of my comfort zone. It's really easy for me to cling to those I mesh with, and I assume with certain things that, oh no, we're not gonna like be cool friends, but God has definitely proven me wrong with that plenty of times. And another thing I needed to realize is that even though we are God's children, we're gonna hurt each other. And like, I can't just act completely surprised when someone in the family hurts my feelings. Like, my feelings are valid, but the goal is to forgive and to continue to pursue the friendship. Because I'm like, my sinful nature is to just cut you off immediately. Like, that's a wrap. You hurt me once, it's over. And I'm definitely a work in progress. But honestly, through God's work, I'm really inspired to continue to fight for the friendships that we have. And because we need each other, like Mark said in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow up, But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Thank you guys for letting me speak.
Good job, Marie. That's great.
Come on. Come on, eat it.
I have a timer this time, guys.
Amen.
And I'm sitting right.
You got the same time.
Alrighty, guys. So,
we're guilty too,
Marie.
We're guilty.
I am also shocked that I was asked to talk about this. Because when I first became a disciple, I was out of whack. boundaries were definitely something that were out of my window. As soon as I got out of my Bible studies with the ladies that were studying with me, I was like, I lost my mind. I had two wonderful brothers who took me in, who drove me around, who was there for me. They were like my best friends. They still are my best friends. And they really just helped me in certain spiritual times of, like, you know, me going through things, and they knew my family, they knew different things about me, and I knew their family, so it was easy for me to get comfortable with them. And my relationship with them was not healthy, in the sense of, there were sisters who were telling me about little small red flags, like, Eden, you're hanging out with them a lot, you know, you don't really have sister friendships, and you know, you don't really talk to anyone else, so what's going on in your life? And I'm like, well, they know what's going on, ask them, you know, like, they're my best friends, you know? And so I realized, at the time I didn't realize, but I was so prideful, like, the moment someone would come up to me and say, like, you're hanging around too, like, you don't know me, like, you don't know the relationship that I have with them, you don't get it. And I felt like it was easier for me to develop a friendship with guys because they weren't emotional, or they were more blunt. They were like, you know, they tell you how it is, like, toughen up, sis, calm down. Like, you know, you're crying too much or something. And that's what I'm used to. And so I thought with them, you know, that's what I was getting, the tough love that I needed. But it wasn't healthy because, of course, they're brothers, and there's certain things I could not talk about. Yeah. There were certain things I could not trespass, especially when it comes to, like, emotional issues, purity, and things of that nature. There was a stop, and if I wasn't, like, getting help from them, who was I getting the help from? Yeah. And it wasn't them, so... I started to realize that, you know, I'm not growing in certain ways because I can't talk to them about it. Not only that, I was hanging out with them any time of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes Deshauna would call me, be like, girl, what you doing? I'm like, I'm on the phone with him. She like, what? Get off the line. I'm like, you don't know me. Why? It's just so much pride. And it's not until, like, God had to really humble me out, and I was going through a lot of things, and I couldn't talk to them about it. And I'm like, who can I talk to? Who can I express these things to? And I was just like, Dad, give me some sisters. So then there was one sister, her name is Falaki, I'm sure you guys know about her. She was my first sister friendship. And she helped me to understand, like, you know, the sisters are not here just to, like, know your business and just sit here and chat and sip on coffee, but they're here to help you grow. And I realized how much I have grown. I was able to get the help that I needed. I was able to talk about the things that I needed to grow as far as emotional guys and things of that nature. I could have talked to a brother guy about a guy that I like, and he's like, oh, you like him? Because, you know, boys are just, you know. They're just so out of whack. I was able to see the importance of having brother-sister relationships, and understanding that there needs to be boundaries in order for us to grow. And I was very selfish in my ways, thinking, like, well, I needed them as a friend, but I wasn't being the true friend that I needed for them because I wasn't guarding their hearts. I was out many times of the night. They're talking to me about anything. Not that it was sketchy, but it was just like, I need to talk to you 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning when we had a whole day that we could have spoke to each other. And so with the sister relationships, I was able to get deeply rooted in some of the sisters' lives. I got to know many sisters, I got to love many sisters and understand them for who they are. And because of that, I am the person that I am today. I have grown, and I'm able to help other people because God has helped me to see where I was wrong. And one scripture that I really liked was 1 Corinthians 10:23, where it talks about how everything is permissible, but everything is not beneficial. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can talk to you at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, but is it really beneficial for me? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can hang out with you at 1 o'clock in the morning, but is it beneficial to me? I need to be protecting my salvation, but I also need to be protecting yours. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one thing. Amen. If you take anything out of this, is just really guard each other's hearts, because it is important
And that's how we're going to go to heaven. So,
amen.
Cat. I did good, y'all.
That was so good.
Thank you guys so much for sharing vulnerability. Let's give it up again. You know, that's not easy, what they just did. You know, I love that what they said. We're all works in progress, right?
Yeah.
So you'll never arrive in this, right? The rest of your life, you're going to be learning how to do this. I just wanted to throw some questions out there that, like, we're talking, like, really basic right now. Mm. Just when you're in conversation, brother, sister, like, things that you can talk about. If you're ever just like, sister, what do I do? Or sister, what do I say? So one is a really radical one. How was your day?
Wow.
Yeah. So, how was your day, right?
I like it, bro.
That could last like 10 minutes. How was your day?
Yeah, it's true.
And then that could be it. You got to go to your car.
You just keep saying, tell me more about that.
So how was your day?
Tell me more about that.
Then you flip it and they tell you
how
about their day, right?
No.
And then you keep going. No, but other good questions are, what are you learning about God? Tell me what you're learning about God, right? That should be a conversation, right? What can I pray for you about? We're good at that. I get that question asked me a lot. What can I pray for you about? Keep asking that. Brothers, this is a good one. Would you like to go on a date with me? That's a great question to ask. Dates are a great way to build friendships. Amen? Go on group dates. Do it. What are you passionate about, right? Like, what do you want? If you had a week to yourself, what would you do? What are you reading for your quiet times? So these are questions, like, simple stuff that helps you to just build friendship. Amen?
Amen.
It's simple stuff, but it's like, we got to be able to know each other. So when you see each other next week, you can ask, hey, how'd that go? And I was praying for you with your test or this friendship, right? It's just that way people are like, oh, wow, they remembered our conversation.
Wow.
Look at that. But you don't have a conversation. It's like, probably not going to have a close friendship. Amen? But, you know, I think another good thing they talked about was emotional boundaries, guys. And this is something that, again, you're going to have to get advice from your closer friends, your discipling partner on where they feel like you're at and how your boundaries are. Or do you even have boundaries, you know? I can't just go and give you them. You got to build your own convictions on it. They shared some good ones, right? I think a big one is watching, alone time, brother and sister, but also just thinking, like, is this beneficial? Anytime you feel sketchy, probably just not a good idea. Like, probably just don't do it, and you guys will be okay. You'll still be friends. When you have a conviction about something, it doesn't change in a circumstance or because you feel something.
Yeah.
Right? Convictions are stable, right?
Yeah.
So if you see yourself kind of compromising a lot, it's not a conviction.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's wrap up here with this third point. Third point. So if Jesus is the glue, who knows you? Third point, it's not about you. That might sound harsh, but it's not. Turn over to John 13. John 13. You know, we see in our world today, people's relationships are all about getting what they want. This is what I want out of this relationship, right? Friendships in the world are mainly selfish and not selfless. And people hang out with the people they want to hang out with. But Jesus sets the bar high for us. And he sets a way different example for us. Chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You see how similar that is to 1 John 4, right? When you love one another, people will see God even though it's invisible. When you love one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. You see that? It's about we're representations of God. He is worthy of our love. And so in this scripture, it's very much so not about you, right?
Yeah.
It's love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
And to know the heart of this, you got to think about, well, how did Jesus love people?
Right.
How did Jesus love me? I killed him on a cross and he loves me, all right? Jesus loved his enemies. Jesus loved the people that wanted him then. Right? So that's the standard here, guys. So we need to really fight to be setting the example, right? If you have something with a brother or sister, God is calling you to love that person as Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And praise God he is, because that's going to heal your friendship, right?
Yeah.
But it's not about us. Jesus loved without expecting anything back.
Right.
Jesus died for you, not, he just said, I hope that they see my light, I hope they follow me, but I'm leaving it up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to love each other without expecting anything back. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you have a conflict with somebody, you got to pray to get to a forgiving place and a loving place. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can't make our friendships about what we want. They need to be about what, they need to be about Jesus first, right? There's a simple thing I like. It says, Jesus, others, yourself. J-O-Y, right? Jesus, others, yourself, you'll have joy, right? Keep that, right? If you do that, you'll have joy in that order, okay? Not yoj, right? Yourself, Jesus. But you know, it's not just in John 13. You know, Hebrews 10 says, let us encourage one another. Why? Because we got an enemy and he's trying to deceive us, right? So a lot of the one another passages are about loving each other no matter what, right? Because Jesus loved us that way. Amen? So that's just really important to keep in mind, is that it's about, because God so loved us, right? Love one another as I have loved you. That's beautiful. That's powerful. But one of my favorite passages I love reading every time I read the book of Romans is the last chapter, when you see Paul talk about the church.
Yeah.
And the relationships. Like, it is amazing. So we're going to turn over there, Romans 16. And this just convicts me, man. I read these relationships they had, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have so much to grow in. Let's pick up here. We're just going to read it. This is awesome. So we'll close out with Romans 16 here. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me.
Mm.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. They risked their lives for me.
Mm.
Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them.
Mm.
Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epinetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Adronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was.
Mm-hmm.
Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stackies. That's a funny name. Isn't there a restaurant?
Stackies.
Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, whom women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Right, so Paul got some tight relationships with his sisters, right? And it says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncretus, Philegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, and Arius, and his sisters in Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings.
Mm.
I love that. All the churches of Jesus Christ are one. They're literally risking their lives for one another. That's a high calling, guys. And so, guys, we are a spiritual family. God is all of our Father. That's why we call each other brother and sister, right? And we're a spiritual family united by the mission of getting the gospel to everybody we can.
Yeah.
It's a powerful glue that we have. But in a family, you don't get to choose who's in your family. It's your blood, right?
No.
You can't say, well, you're not my sister anymore. you know, you stole that Christmas present or whatever. It's like, it's your blood, man. And you got to figure out how to love your own blood. And we share the blood of Christ, right? Mm. God is what keeps us together.
Right.
Our standards are not the world's standards. Our standards are Jesus' standards. And when God is the head of any family, the relationships within that family will be full of life, be full of growth, be full of good times, fun times. We don't even deserve to treat one another with such love, right? I don't deserve to have such amazing sisters in my life. I praise God for the sisters that God's put in my life and the brothers, but we don't deserve that, right? For all the mistakes we've made. But you know, I'll close out with this. I was home, I have a little sister, Lydia, and she's adopted from China. She's 11 years old, and we had the home videos going during Christmas, and we were watching her, the video of us going to the adoption agency to get her.
Wow.
And you know, it brings back all these emotions, but it was so crazy, and as I was watching this, I couldn't stop thinking about tonight. Because as I'm watching this, I'm just watching this girl on the screen, and then I see Lydia sitting in front of the TV, like, about to be a teenager, and I'm just like, when did she get so big? Like, when did she grow up? And then it just hit me, like, this is my sister. Like, this is amazing that I can have this special relationship with this girl that would have never had a family. Like, I get to be an older brother to her and show her the love of God. Does that make sense? Like, I love my sister Lydia because I want her to know that she's loved, that she's beautiful, because one day she's gonna need to have an example of the love of God, right? She's gonna need to be convinced that, no, God loves me. And I can help that happen for her by the way I treat her as a brother. In fact, that's my responsibility to do that. So I just want to end with that, that, you know, we are all sons and daughters of God, period. That's why we should love one another. God values each of us. He said, you're worthy of my son. You're worthy of Jesus. Therefore, love each other. Amen.
Amen.
And so just want to close out with that, but just some closing questions. Think about, what's the glue of your friendships? Is it Jesus? Who knows you best? Is it the brothers or the sisters? And do you have personal convictions about what your boundaries should be? Closing challenge is just this. Ask your disciple how they feel like you're doing with building godly friendships. I want all you guys to do that. Maybe tonight, if you can, if they're here, ask them, how do you feel like I'm doing with that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, to God be the glory, and I hope that was meaningful for you guys.